Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 177 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of November 24th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is overtly sexist set of superpowers, Dan Ryan.
A more apt description you've never written.
Dan and I will once again be continuing our journey through every single Mario game this week with part four of our, let's just call it ongoing Mario retrospective. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@kike.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, Dan, how are you?
I'm good. I just hanging. I haven't had time to do shit, because last week was the final of my statistics course in college. And somehow, because I'm a super genius, in my master's level, and I don't know how much of a difference that makes, but it's what I'm taking, so I feel like I should say it. In my master's level statistics course, I somehow got a B without ever opening the book. Like, I just kind of...
Statistically speaking, what are the odds of that?
Not very good, because it was hard. So hard. It's the dumbest math I've ever done in my entire life. And I took fucking symbolic logic in college, which was breaking down arguments into math.
Well, clearly that you didn't play the Mario early years fun with numbers, which is the dumbest math I've ever
done. Well, no, had I done that, I probably would have gotten the A. That's the thing. I was only like 4 points away. The Mario fun with numbers would have been the thing to push me right over the edge.
Software tool works, man. They're a powerful tool.
They are a statistical powerhouse. Everybody knows that. I mean, in the research field, we all talk about it.
We all around the water cooler.
Yeah, constant talk of software tool work.
Man, remember when that was like the thing? Everything from software tool works and like Compton's Interactive Encyclopedia and stuff.
I know.
That was such a fun time.
Everywhere. It really was. And now we just have Google.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
Because before that, kids, you see, we used to have books that were called encyclopedias, and you would buy sets of encyclopedias, and they would just have general knowledge alphabetized. And then one day they started releasing these CDs of interactive encyclopedias. And you're like, you can throw away that old encyclopedia set because we've got all the information you need on one compact disc.
One compact disc called Encarta. It's got little videos and sound clips. It's fucking amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
It really was, though.
It really was. I mean, you would think that, it's an encyclopedia. That's dumb. But, like, I would play that. I would pop that thing in and just watch videos. And
just sit there for hours, like, learning.
Poking around, learning shit.
It's just, like, my daughter asked me today, like, just the difference in the world. My daughter Katie asked me today how Tiff and I met. And I told her at a video, you know, like, at Game Crazy in Hollywood video, and mommy was working at the video store and daddy was working at the video game store. And she was like, it's a video game. What's a video store? I was like, you would come and like rent movies and you would take them home for a couple of days and then you'd have to bring them back. And she looked at me and completely deadpan and went, that's stupid. It's like,
Katie, honey, it's time to sit you down and watch Clerks.
Yeah. And then she was like, you had to pay for them. I was like, who do you think pays for your Netflix now? You pay for that? Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
Netflix ain't YouTube. It's not free.
Yeah, and no, we have the commercial for YouTube because we pay for that too. God damn it. Yeah, I know.
YouTube Red, YouTube, huh? Red. So you're the guy.
Yeah, no, we're supporting the creators, man. Like, that's, you know, the money goes directly to them, sort of.
I think it
gets filtered through Russia first, is from what I understand. What I've been watching on the news is that everything online goes to Russia first.
Eh, I buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, net neutrality. That's a thing.
Whatever.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it this week real quick. Net neutrality, look it up. Is Stone Age Gamer just posted a thing on their Facebook page? We posted it on Geekade's page. Net neutrality is freaking important. Look into it. call the people that you need to call, pester them until their ears bleed.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Callyourrep.co.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you your local person's number.
Yeah, okay. I called Frank Lobiondo yesterday, and I just got a click. Just didn't go to a voicemail or anything. It just went to a click hang up. It's like, yeah, that he announced his retirement. That's about right for him. So
look, Lobiondo, you're going to talk to us. We'll interview you here on the Stone Age Gamer. Also, gofccyourself.com. Mm. That was the John Oliver thing, right? Yeah.
John Oliver's
thing. It'll gets you. Yeah, it gets you through everything you can fill out. It's gofccyourself.com.
Nice.
Super important. Do it.
So, just real quick, what I've been working on, I did finally get myself a copy of Doom.
And what do you think?
I freaking love it. I That's love good, it. Man. I'm not
I was
very
so
far
concerned.
In it at all.
I was so concerned.
I'm surprised. Like as playing it a little bit, I was started to get a little scared that maybe I wasn't going to love it. Like
right.
I played the intro and I was like, wow, this looks really cool, but it feels kind of like those newfangled modern games. And like as within a couple of minutes, I got the hang of the combat. And like last night I'm sitting in bed, I'm still in the very beginning. I just made it to the second level before I went to bed last night. Mm-hmm. And I'm running around on that Mars place in the beginning, the big like open place. It's all like sandy and kind of orange looking. And the imps are like just jumping around. And that's the first thing that really got me. Cause the original Doom, like every bad guy's attack pattern was charge at you screaming and throwing fireballs until you kill them. And this one, the imps are like, they're lobbing fireballs over my head. They're jumping and climbing walls. And I'm like,
they're crafty.
And I'm sitting in bed last night playing the game and I'm audibly saying out loud, get back here, motherfucker. Where do you think you're going? And I'm like chasing people down and I'm having so much fun with it. I'm really, really having fun with it. I can't wait to play more. I haven't had much time, unfortunately.
Because you're also taking a statistics course.
Very much no. I will not be furthering my education for the rest of my life.
Fucking lazy you are.
God. I really, really am.
You fucking taker, I'll tell you. Living off my tax dollars.
Crap, I totally forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something. I was playing Doom.
I would imagine so. It is a podcast.
Damn it.
If you just sit there quiet for the next hour, that's going to be really weird.
It's going to be really weird. Yeah, so I haven't had as much time to play Doom as I wanted to. That's the thing. The issue I was having with it is, so there's a known glitch in the Switch game where the sound will just go bug nuts and then disappear.
Sure.
That's kind of weird. All you have to do is restart from the latest save point and then it fixes itself. But that happened to me yesterday, and that was kind of annoying. But there's now another glitch that's happening to me, which is I can't move around in the menus. Like, all the controls in the game work fine. I can play the game till the cows come home, but I got to the first upgrade station, and I can't select anything. Like, I can't move the
that's
cursor on the menu. And I tried pausing it to save my game, couldn't do it. You can't do anything except for get back out of the menu. Id Software, Bethesda, Panic Button, whoever's in charge of this, please get on an update, patch this, fix it up for me, because that would be real great. And it's not going to stop me from continuing to play the game, because I'm just going to keep playing the game. that's really the only problem, is I can't stop playing the game. But still, I'd like to have I really want to go into the options mode and mess with things a little bit more, because when I first started the game, I couldn't do anything because everything moves around so fast and I'm terrible at first-person shooters. So, but fortunately, they give you the option to slow down how fast your reticle moves, and I would put it down like super slow, and now I'm doing great. It's more my speed. But there's also I was listening to, I can't remember which podcast I was listening to, but they were saying that somebody turned off one of the blur filters and they thought the game looked a lot better. And I was having some issues when I was moving around, like things looked a little weird, and I'd like to try turning off the blur filter, but I can't get back into the menu options anymore. So I don't know what's up with that. It makes me sad.
All right.
The other thing was, is that I got VVVVVV on Switch, which I'm pretty sure I talked about on this show way back when it came out on 3DS and I was obsessed with it. And
yeah, absolutely.
I am just as obsessed with it again. I've already played through it once, and I'm going to go back and collect all the trinkets. I'm so happy to finally play it on a TV, which is really cool, because I didn't have that option before. I was on 3DS.
Does it scale up well?
Yeah, it looks... I mean, it's so simple, it just looks...
No, I just mean the size of the levels and, like, everything. Like, it's still proportional and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. There's nothing weird about it.
Well, I mean, I guess that's one of the things...
Sometimes when you take something that's so obviously designed for a smaller space and blow it up, mm-hmm. you have a lot of weirdness.
I think that's one of the things that I like about the Switch being what it is that the aspect ratio on the screen is the standard size. So it's right. when you're designing something for technically the same amount of real estate, you know, on handheld and on docked. So
right.
you don't really run into that issue too much. Like, I guess the text in Doom is a little small, but no, VVVVVV works perfectly. I mean, the first time I saw it on a TV was on PS4 when we did it on the Pain in the Ass-a-thon last year. Genghis did that, and I thought that was, like, so cool to finally see it on a TV, and getting to do that at my own house was really nice. And I've played, like, you know, a few more minutes of Mario Odyssey. Obviously, that's all I want to do, but I keep running into this problem where, all right, it's time to go to bed. Well, I don't want to play Mario Odyssey, because if I do, I'm going to be up for another hour, so...
Yeah, I've been doing that with Pad a lot more lately, because I haven't had as much time to put into it, and there's mm-hmm. been, like, a lot of shit to, like, limited times dungeon drops and whatnot, and, you know, I've been like, all right, I'll jump into, like, three-player mode, like, just real quick, like, I'll just burn some stamina before I go to bed, and it's like, all right, sweet, the thing, Hashime, that I wanted to drop, like, that's here, and, like, ah, fuck, we gotta, like, stall on this and work around it for, like, another 25 minutes to a half, like, okay, it's fine, it's now midnight, I guess we'll go to bed. That's cool. I mean, I got in bed at 10:30, but whatever. It's all good. I know, it's fucking stupid. I love it, though.
For anyone keeping track, I just made it to the Luncheon Kingdom, which is neat.
Well, all right, then.
There's food everywhere. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's continue. Let's continue talking about Mario, but backpedal mm-hmm. a little bit. So this week, we're taking things a little slower, because we've determined that the last couple
Not
of weeks
too much
have,
slower, though.
Have just been insane. So yeah. we're going to do 2006 to 2012. So we're going to do a nice little 6-year thing instead of a 10-year thing. Let's see how this goes. And let's start with 2006. Dan, talk to me about the music of 2006.
Oh, man, I got to stall now. I didn't even pull it up. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm a bad friend.
It's okay. It's okay. I just think less of you now.
Evan and his giant cock can edit this out.
just edit this right out.
Edit this right out. What are we in? 2006?
And an eighth.
2006 and an eighth. All right. So in 2006, coming in at number 3 was the returning Nelly Furtado featuring Timbaland with Promiscuous.
Good and word. Then,
yeah. And we had Sean Paul at number 2 with Temperature. And number 1 in 2006 was one of my probably least favorite songs of all time. And that is Bad Day by Daniel Powder. That You Had a Bad Day song.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You yeah. see, I think you know Bad Day, I'm thinking of the great R.E.M. song, Bad Day. Mm-mm. But
No. And yeah. like what makes me really sad is that number 5 was Hips Don't Lie from Shakira and Wyclef Jean, which is a way better song. But number 7 was by far the best song that came out the entire year, and that was Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. That was amazing. I mean, it's Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. I mean, that Bad Day song was so bad. Sucked.
Yeah.
No good. Anyway.
Anyway, so here we are in 2006, and the first Mario game to show up in 2006 is Super Princess Peach for the Nintendo DS. Have
Nothing
you played this
sexist
game?
About this game.
Oh, my God. Have you actually
Everything
tried this, Dan?
No, I haven't. I feel like I should have because of just how offensive this game is.
And I can't understand, like, I feel like it wasn't really talked about as being overtly offensive at the time. But even at the time, I remember looking at it like, okay, that's not cool. Like, the idea behind the game is great. You know, a princess has to go out and save Mario this time, who's been kidnapped.
Right, but great idea.
She's got a set of superpowers that are all based on being overly emotional.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, you know, Chris, women are very emotional.
They are.
And
oh my God.
Certain times, those emotions just take over.
They really do.
And give them superpowers. Everybody knows that.
This is just one of those, I couldn't believe my eyes. And I've heard it's a pretty decent game. I like the look of it. It's got a really, like, the sprite
works
really
great. Cool.
It's got a very good visual style to it. It's just the fact that, you know, when we finally get a Princess Peach star, like a game, basically a Mario platformer, except starring the girl. And then it's just all about, I have a pretty umbrella and I'm over emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of takes away from things a bit there.
So, like, what do the powers do?
Okay, I have also not played this.
Okay.
But if I remember correctly, I know that you can get sad, which creates, like, she cries a lot.
Uh-huh.
There's an anger one, which I assume just gives you, like, super angry powers. Gameplay. All right, joy, yellow heart. This is coming from Wikipedia. Peach becomes very happy as if walking on air, which allows her to slowly ascend in a small tornado. Gust fogs and clouds turn windmills, push down fountains, hit blocks above her, and blow enemies away. With this power, she can float in the wind in some stages. She can also use it to break open flying bags that contain mostly coins and sometimes heart and vibe crystals. Splash bits of bloopers ink thrown in the air. Spin Kamek's head and slow down her falls as an easy use. However, some areas feature spores that stop her flying abilities, requiring more traditional platform methods to reach, but she can go up platforms that are vertically close. Wow, this game sounds weird.
Yeah.
Let's see, there's Gloom. Peach will cry, causing a cartoonish amount of tears to steadily stream out in both directions around her as she dashes forward. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Rage. Red heart. Peach will become enraged, causing her to catch fire with a big blaze, making her invincible, burn enemies and other objects, and able to cause earthquakes whenever she lands. And calm. Peach will calm down, become delighted and encased in a clear bubble while giggling. Wow.
Yeah, so that tells you everything you need to know about this game. You can make the girl angry and she can cause earthquakes, or you can calm her down and she'll giggle and restore her health.
But man, I'm looking at even just the screenshot that's on Wikipedia, and God, I wish New Super Mario Brothers looked like this. Like, that's the next game we're going to talk about is New Super Mario Brothers. But I'm just looking at this; it's just gorgeous. It's just wonderful sprite work instead of essentially soulless polygons. That's really something.
Yeah, it did look really cool, and, like, you know, Peach is a cool character and whatnot, so...
I mean, like, she's kind of like this, kind of, sort of a joke of a character, really. I mean, she's so two-dimensional, but at the same time, she, like, kind of works, almost, as long as you don't put too much thought into it. Like, it's almost like she's not getting kidnapped by Bowser because she's helpless, it's just... She's getting kidnapped by Bowser, I think, because she's just too dumb to care, or...
Well, I mean, she's blonde, Chris.
What the heck?
So...
Why do you think Daisy only got kidnapped once, and it was by an evil alien?
Right. I mean, clearly Nintendo is following the standardized tropes that... Do we have to put a disclaimer now? Like, we actually don't mean... Like...
Please,
I mean, we're actually mean it.
We're pointing out the ridiculousness of this. We don't actually believe this stuff.
I mean, it is just silly, but... All right, so Super Princess Peach.
So, Super Princess Peach. Now, also on the Nintendo DS in 2006, we had one of the biggest games ever, New Super Mario Brothers.
The first of the 758 New Super Mario Brothers titles that we will be talking about. over the next
really
3 years.
Felt that way.
It really does.
There, I think there was only 4 of them actually, but
oh god, it feels like so much more.
It felt like so much more because this was, and you can almost see why, because I mean let's look this up real quick. What's that website that the VG charts? These new Super Mario Brothers games sold like unreasonably well. Just
they really did.
And like the original new Super Mario Brothers, I totally got why, because I mean I was really excited for that game because there hadn't been a 2D Mario platformer in a long time.
Yeah.
And so when they finally released this game and I was like, oh my god, they actually made a new 2D Mario game. I thought that was dead. I thought they just weren't gonna do that anymore. And it was really good. It was very solid. It didn't take a lot of risks, but it had some cool new power-ups like the giant mushroom. And
yeah, the giant mushroom is cool.
I really like the teeny tiny mushroom. Especially
teeny tiny mushroom was cool.
They had these cool little secret bits where you could go to like different areas on the map by beating the castles with tiny Mario, and you would fall in a little hole at the end and then take a separate path out. So while the map wasn't as interesting as the one in Super Mario World, it kind of took some pages out of that book, simplified it a lot, but it was still interesting enough. And it was a new Mario game. It was a very solid platformer. It felt good. It looked good. The music was good. And it sold globally 29 million units.
Quite a lot.
That's a lot. That's a 29.85 million units. And 11.28 of those were in North America alone.
Yeah, that's not.
That's a lot of copies of a game.
Yeah. And especially a handheld game.
Yeah, and it was one of those evergreen things too. Like it kept selling for years. Yeah. It was always available in stores and it just kept going.
Was it ever a pack-in?
I think did some bundles around Christmas time, like very briefly kind of things, like holiday bundles. But it was it wasn't really like, you know, Super Mario 1 or Super Mario 3 in that regard. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have also in 2006, man, Mario was all over the DS in 2006.
Yeah.
We got Mario Hoops 3-on-3, which on paper should have been great.
But was not.
No, it actually wasn't a very fun game to play. I mean, I didn't play much of it, but the little that I played, I was not impressed with. This is a Mario basketball game that was developed by Square, had some Final Fantasy characters thrown into it.
Sure.
And it just oddly wasn't fun.
Because when I think basketball, I think chocobos.
Exactly. I think it was actually more like white mages and stuff. It was kind of ridiculous. It's 3-on-3. Let's see. What were the characters in there? Characters. Unlockable characters. Let's see. There was a... Boy, oh boy. All right. So the regular characters is you start off with just the Mario characters, but you could unlock... Dixie Kong, Bowser, Birdo, Boo, Fly Guy, a Moogle, Ninja, White Mage, Black Mage, and Cactuar.
Wow.
That's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome. I'll give it that.
But unfortunately, it just wasn't very fun. On paper, this really, like, the game looks good. And, you know, you think about something like ridiculous, like NBA Jam. And then you think like, all right, basketball could really work with Mario characters. Like,
yeah, totally.
And we're not talking like NBA Street V3, where it was just like, these are Mario characters playing NBA Street. Like, adding coins and bombs and fire and stuff to basketball, it's a sport that lends itself well to it, and it just this one just kind of missed the mark. It wasn't terrible, just not great.
I mean, Square is not really known for their sports games.
No, they're not.
I mean, as far as I know.
Hey man, Blitzball's awesome.
No, it's not. That's not a thing anybody would say. That's gonna go ahead and straight up disagree with you on that one. It's the thing that people tried to convince themselves was awesome, and they were wrong the whole time.
They really were. Him in his stupid asymmetric shorts. Anyway, moving on. In 2006, we also got Mario vs. Donkey Kong: March of the Minis. Now, this is one of those games I have kind of a love-hate relationship with, because this was where they really diverged from the Mario versus Donkey Kong 94 thing, where right. It was like, find a key, jump, and do a kind of puzzle platformy kind of thing. And I loved those games. This, and started to do, we've got these little mini guys, the little mini toys wandering around, and it actually had more of a Lemmings flavor to it, which is great.
This one's because weird.
Lemmings is cool, but I don't know. It just,
See, and I think we even have to amend that. Like, Lemmings was cool.
That's true.
There's a reason that they haven't, like, brought Lemmings back. Because it's just not a great idea. Like, the first time that we saw it, it was like, oh, there's a lot of things on screen, and like, oh, look, you can make them die. And like, okay, like, that's fine. We've kind of moved past that. Like, this one's weird.
This one is weird. See, I genuinely still enjoy Lemmings. And, you know, I got it on the last release that I remember coming out was on the original PSP, which was nice. It was good. It was more of a remake, though, and I just want new Lemmings stuff, like, you know, new jobs and things like that. And I really dig a lot of what March of the Minis was doing and all the Mario versus Donkey Kong games that came after this as well. But it just always kind of burned me a little bit because it wasn't what I really wanted. You know, I want more of DK94.
Well, and like what's weird is that if this game would have been the Pikmin puzzle platformer, sold a million copies and everybody would love it.
Yeah. And instead, you know what I mean? Like the Pikmin game that came out this year, which I heard was just not very good.
Yeah. But you know, like this thing would much more lend itself to the idea of like a Pikmin kind of thing. Like Mario just doesn't.
You're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that.
Weird application for Mario.
This was a weird application for Mario. Like I get that Mario is a very malleable.
Was Pikmin out in 2006 though?
Was that Pikmin? Yes, Pikmin was GameCube, so yeah, we're past GameCube at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're... Okay. Yeah, like, this to me, just looking at it, because I've never played this, but looking at it, this to me looks much more like this should have been a Pikmin game.
That would have been really neat. That's a great idea. You should work for Nintendo.
Those are the only ideas I have.
That's true. All right. Also in 2006, we had... Oh, man. We had Yoshi's Island DS. I do not like this game at all.
Is this a new Yoshi's Island, or is this a remake of the original Yoshi's Island remake?
No, this is a sequel. This was billed as a proper sequel to the Super NES Yoshi's Island, one of my favorite games.
Okay.
And this game had some great ideas, none of the soul, and the art direction was trying to emulate what they did on the Super Nintendo, but not quite nailing it.
Okay.
So what they added in this one, which I thought was a neat idea, was the ability to play as, like, you were currying different baby characters this time. So you had baby Mario, but then you also had, like, baby Wario, which had, like, a giant magnet, or a baby Peach that had her parasol, or a baby Donkey Kong that could grab vines and climb them. So you had these different options in the game, which was a neat idea, but it did two things colossally wrong. One, it did that dumb two screen at the same time playing thing where the whole game
has never been good.
The only time it's ever worked, in my humble opinion, was in Sonic Rush. And because the way that they did it was they had you switch screens at like dynamic moments. So like you could always see the screens at the same time, but it'd be like, you'd be running super fast and then you'd go down a hill and then all of a sudden you'd be on the bottom screen. But this game is a much slower paced thing. So at all times you've got that little gap that you have to pay attention to, and it just didn't really work. Oh,
That's a shame.
Contra 4. It also worked very well in Contra 4. Contra 4 is a goddamn masterpiece.
Speaking of, I just bought a beer by a local brewery here in New Jersey called Glasstown Brewery. And the beer is Super C. It's an IPA with, I think, Citra and Centennial Hop. But the can art is just a screenshot from Contra. Like, not even trying to hide what this is. It is just straight up like we found an image online and just put it on our cans. And I love the brazenness of it, of just like, yeah, fuck it, whatever.
Gotta love that.
Because really, like, if a local, like a small craft brewer in New Jersey had got a cease and desist from Nintendo. Mm-hmm. It's just good marketing at that point, I think.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I'm gonna slap it into a Bits and Brews, I think, here towards the end of the year.
So this anyway, game I digress. Was this game was made by Artoon, who is okay. like the D-list Nintendo developer, and they're not even the Nintendo developers. Like they've shuffled out a bunch of things to them, like this Yoshi's Island DS or Yoshi's Universal Gravitation, which I think was similar to it was Yoshi's Topsy Turvy here in America. Mm. They were responsible for the Blinks games on Xbox.
Mm.
They were responsible for Blue Dragon on Xbox 360, which we spoke about not very positively. They're just this, they're really good at making soulless imitations of good games.
It's a niche.
Somebody's it is a niche. Fill it. And I was just supremely disappointed with this game.
Yeah.
But 2006 went out on a really, really high note with the sublime Tetris DS, which is, in my opinion, just about the best Tetris anyone's ever made.
See, and I've never played this one because I've never needed to go past the original Game Boy Tetris.
Oh, this takes everything that is wonderful about modern Tetris, that it controls faster, like it's as sharp as you want it to be. It adds like the reserve block, which is great. It's got some really, really clever modes in the game as well. I can't remember what it's called, like this cluster mode where you're a little block and you move it around and these Tetris pieces are kind of moving across the screen and you have to like kind of arrange yourself to make squares out of the Tetris blocks. It's really clever. One of my favorite modes is push mode, which is a two-player mode in it where you're both playing Tetris on like opposing sides of the well. So instead of it being like you both have your own thing side to side and you do garbage to one another, you're both on the same playing screen, but there's like an equator and that's where the bottom of their screen is. And so it's upside down to you, but it's right side up to them. And so when you're putting blocks through, if you don't have anything on the bottom, it's going to come through their end too. So whenever you start building a line, you're then giving them a floor to work on to build their own line. And every time you make lines, the whole play field moves closer to the end of where you're going. So like the more damage you do, the further the closer you're getting them to the edge, which would push them off and make them lose.
That's pretty cool.
The whole thing's full of just really, really, really cool modes. And it's dressed up in all black box NES games, basically.
That's cool.
Almost all black box. Like there's Super Mario 3 is in there too, but it's like, it's just got this great, great aesthetic with amazingly awesome, like remixes of old Nintendo game music. And you play this, like when you play just the regular mode, you go through like Super Mario 1 and then you eventually move on to like Mario 3 and Excitebike and Devil World. And if you get all the way to the end, it actually plays Tetris. So you're playing a Tetris themed Tetris stage, which is kind of
weird. That's awesome.
It's really great. It's such a good version of Tetris. It's so, so damn good.
I might actually pick that up.
If you can find it, definitely do. It's highly regarded for a very good reason. It's just amazing. It's one of the best versions. It's my favorite version of Tetris I've ever played. It's damn near flawless. I just wish it was on a television. I wish it was on Switch, but it's not. I never
Give it
will
time.
Be.
Give
anyway,
it time.
All right. 2007. Talk to us. Music.
All right. 2007. Number 3. The Sweet Escape. Gwen Stefani featuring Akon. You remember when Akon was a thing?
I really don't.
For like a minute? No, I'm sure you don't. Number 2, Umbrella, Ella Ella, Hey Hey, Rihanna featuring Jay-Z. And number 1, Queen Bee, Beyonce, Irreplaceable. Those are actually pretty good.
I'll take your word for it.
I mean, it's no Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees or Buy You a Drank. Fergalicious. Oh, this was Crack That Soldier Boy. That was or Crank That. Ooh.
Anyway, 2007 Ooh. For the Wii, we started off with Super Paper Mario. I like this game.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like this game a lot.
Yeah, so this I mean, it was looks the, really good.
This was the not RPG Paper Mario game.
This was the platformer
Right? Essentially, yeah, it was like it was essentially a platform, but it kind of played like, you know, less like a platformer and more like all the stuff in an RPG minus the battle system.
Okay.
And it had that cool like mechanic where you would go 2D to 3D, which was rather novel at the time, which
yeah.
Games have done that a lot since, but at the time it was really unique. Hey, you had a good sense of humor. I never finished it though, because it did eventually get kind of boring, but I did like the game overall. It was pretty solid.
Luigi looks cool in this one, right? Isn't this the one where he has like a weird costume?
Is this one of the games in the Paper Mario series is where I think the evil Mr. L comes from, or
yeah, that's what I think
name is.
Evil Mr. L.
Mr. L. Oh boy, my microphone's falling down. That's no good.
Oh no.
Yes, Mr. L is in the Paper Mario series. I don't know if he was from this game or in this game, but yeah, I gotta love that.
Yeah, he looks kind of cool.
Yeah, Mr. L, Green Thunder, Super Paper Mario. He's in there.
Like, this one has like a cool aesthetic, and the switching from 2D to 3D is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a neat mechanic, especially in this paper thing, because like the bushes would all turn to their sides and you'd just be like, well, that really is just a piece of cardboard. That's great.
That is just flat.
Just flat. All right. We also got Mario Party 8. Moving on. So in 2007, I'm done talking about Mario Party games.
That's the thing. They don't ever change.
Yeah. And if they did, I didn't know because I stopped playing them.
Yeah. Because they're still terrible.
We also got in 2007 Mario Strikers Charged. I don't really have a ton to say that it's different from the other one. It was more of that super aggressive Mario art. And
so aggressive.
It's so cool. I freaking love this game. This was also one of the first online games for the Wii, and it was barely functional.
That's right.
But I remember at the time...
Your 658-digit friend code.
Yes. Yeah, I never played with anyone I knew. I definitely played a couple of random online matches and got kicked out of them at some point and said, well, that's not really for me. But I was glad I had the game. And I am still saddened by the fact that this series seems to have stopped dead in its tracks. But then again, you know, it came out on GameCube and Wii, and nothing really came out on GameCube on Wii U. So
right.
I guess there's always a possibility that we'll get a new Mario Strikers.
I would have to imagine so. With the success of the Switch and the relative popularity that the Mario sports games have had, it would seem odd if they didn't at least try it with a couple. And soccer, you know, is pretty popular from what I understand around the world.
The world does seem to like soccer.
They do.
So this next one here is not a good game, but it's kind of an important game because it was the first Mario and Sonic game at the same time,
which was a big fucking deal.
It really was, especially for us old schoolers, you know, the people who grew up in the Nintendo versus Sega era. I mean, I still really like the intro they put together for this. Sega put together a really, really high quality CG intro for this, and it's just really, really neat to look at, and it's still always kind of gives me a little happiness to see Mario and Sonic at the same time. It's just, whenever I thought of Mario and Sonic teaming up in a video game, I just never imagined it would be an Olympics game.
Yeah.
And like, it's not that it's bad. I think I'm being too hard on it. It's just like, it's an Olympics game. So it really just comes down to basically button mashers, except it's a Wii game. So it's all swinging your remote around like a jackass.
Waggle mashing.
Yeah. It's waggle mashing. Exactly.
That's a thing.
And
yeah, I didn't play it.
I bought it.
Yeah, well, of course you did.
Of course I did. It was the first Mario and Sonic game. I had to buy it, no matter how terrible it was. But yeah, I don't know. And I didn't. This came out for the Wii and the DS. I've never played the DS version, but I did spend a decent amount of time in the Wii version. And for what it was fun because I do like Olympic games. I love track and field. You know, it's great. But man, you talk about just missing the mark. Like, this is not what we wanted. This is not what we were asking for. We wanted a Mario and Sonic crossover.
I mean, I'm kind of sad that in the screenshots I'm looking at in the swimming events that they are all just wearing their regular clothes except for Princess Peach.
Yeah, she gets a bathing suit. Mario swims in overalls. Girl,
so naturally, Mario's still wearing overalls, which he's gonna. I mean, he's that would have to.
He still has his boots on, right?
Yeah.
He's not even barefoot. It's absolutely ridiculous. Sonic gets to swim naked in Mario's.
Yeah, Sonic and Knuckles, Shadow, no clothes, but shoes, because that's how they like to do it.
Of course. And it's Mario has a swimsuit in Mario Odyssey, so clearly he's got no problem getting into a bathing suit. Not at the Olympics. Nah, it's going to look like Mario the whole time. So that's it's dumb. Weird.
It's weird. Oh, man, I just got to a picture of Tails doing a triple sow cow, I think, in an ice skating event. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, kind of hard to argue with that.
We're going to get to the Winter Olympics soon.
We sure are.
Ooh.
Then in 2007, we got Super Mario Galaxy, which blew my mind. And is still, I think, a really, really great game. This was a build as like the sequel to Mario Sunshine, although it did kind of forge its own path. It is still, the evolution of 3D Mario, but it had this very unique hook where you were on these little planetoids and it was all this weird gravity effects and stuff. And the game is so absurdly clever and well produced. It looks great. Even on the Wii, it just looks, the art direction is so sharp in it. And
it does look very cool.
It's an astonishingly good game.
Unsurprisingly, is the best use of the Wii motion controller that there's been.
Yeah, just about. I mean, because it uses it so sparingly. It's IR is great. Use IR all you want. If you want to point at things, that's great because that is really reliable technology for the most part. Once you start doing all the shaky stuff, like, that's the thing. Nothing in Super Mario Galaxy, with the exception of pointing at the star bits to collect them, which is not important at all.
Right.
The only other real motion control thing is shaking the remote to make him do the little spin move, which could have easily been mapped to a button. So there's nothing about this that's like, oh, man, you could never port this to something because it doesn't have motion controls. Like, yeah, you could easily port this to something else. Just make the waggle into a button, which... Yeah, I guess this kind of negates the point of waggle in the first place, but that's a podcast for another podcast. Super Mario Galaxy is amazing, and it is very cool looking
with a lot of really cool ideas. Still not for me.
I've never seen a game treat wacky gravity mechanics like this before, and it's great.
It has very cool boss fights.
Very cool boss fights. Great music, too. This was a fully orchestrated soundtrack, which was a first for a Mario adventure. And, coming off of something that, essentially seemingly as low budget as New Super Mario Brothers, and then seeing them... I loved that they kept doing this kind of stuff, where they really did try to just make new 3D Mario games, and they always put a lot of effort into them, which, disappeared for a little while once we'll get to that later, but... The Galaxy games were just spectacular, and I guess we'll talk about Galaxy 2 in a little bit. But okay, in 2007 we got Mario Party DS, and you can keep it. this game just doesn't. I don't understand portable Mario Party. Like,
no.
Who's gathering together with like 8 DSs for 3 hours to play Mario Party? Mario Party only really works when you're having a party, and
even then it doesn't.
And even then, it doesn't. No. Itadaki Street DS. This, if I remember correctly, is Fortune Street. Yeah, this is Fortune Street, which I didn't realize came out on DS first. I remember the Wii game, which I guess we'll get to a little later.
Right.
Fortune Street's kind of neat. This is it's kind of like a weird Monopoly style game. This is another Square / Nintendo thing. So it's got more Dragon Quest type characters in it than a Final Fantasy ones. At least
I gotta say, like, everybody was so excited when Square and Nintendo started working together again because everybody thought they were going to get Super Mario RPG 2, and instead, we've gotten a slew of other shit.
Yes, instead we've got a lot of weird stuff. We got the Crystal Chronicles, which are very cool in their own right, but I would love to have those in addition to proper Final Fantasy games, not instead of them.
Right.
Anyway. Itadaki Street is neat. I don't have a ton to say about it because I never had anyone to play it with, and it was not really a great one-player game, but it always struck me as very interesting, and I also know that the Wii version has a very, very cool soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all I have to say about it.
Yeah, one player Monopoly does not sound very fun.
Yeah, no, that's not a hoot. Let's see, Mario Kart Arcade GP 2 came out. I don't know when this hit America, but it definitely came out in Japan. And it was, from what I've come to understand, I've never actually seen one of these. I played the first one in the arcade, but I've never played the second one. And it's just more of the Quarter Muncher style Mario Kart arcade game.
All right, then.
New tracks, a couple new characters. I think maybe you could be the ghosts from Pac-Man in this one. I don't remember. But one of them eventually did this whole like camera thing where it would look at you and put your face on the screen for other screens, because it was those kind of racing games that had like a bunch of screens lined up next to each other.
Yeah, the embarrass the drunk asshole in public games. Like,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times, good times. Let's see, we've got also, 2008, music.
Mm. Sorry, I pulled them all up so I could be ready. Now I'm not ready. Number three, No One from Alicia Keys. Such a good fucking song. He's so awesome. Number two, Bleeding Love from Leona Lewis.
I
no idea what that is.
No idea. It sounds gross.
Yeah, it really does. However, the number one song would be Low from Flo Rida. Get it? Because he's from Florida. So it's Flo Rida featuring T-Pain. This is it is a song. Fucking terrible.
All right. Yay. Boys, gross. I'm really getting a lot out of this music stuff.
I don't know why we're doing it, but I mean, it's just kind of interesting to look back.
It is.
It kind of puts a perspective of like when these games came out, because like, you know, we're talking about Mario and, you know, the Mario games that came out this year. And also in 2008, the 13th most popular song of the year was I Kissed a Girl from Katy Perry. And like, it just doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but you know, it just kind of puts a weird, I don't know. Colby Calais also put out Bubbly this year, and that was a good song.
Like, again, I'll take your word for it.
Everybody loves Colby Calais.
Hot damn. All right. So I just have to say, my wife is doing lots of Thanksgiving prep right now, and it smells amazing in my house.
Yeah. We've got some stuff going on. It's pretty awesome. And I are sitting here talking about bullshit, and our wives are putting it down.
Slaving away.
Like Super Princess Peach.
Oh, God. Okay, so 2008.
They must be using their green hearts so that they can be calm in the kitchen.
Indeed. Christ.
Tiff's on the couch right now. She looks like she's getting her red heart going.
Dan will be dead soon. It was nice knowing him.
It's so, all right. I'll give her a foot rub later. She'll be back in the green. Because that's how girls work.
All right. So starting off in 2008, we had the wonderful Super Smash Brothers Brawl, which I loved this game because
Snake?
Yeah, this was Snake.
Snake!
Oh my God, Smash Brothers Brawl is amazing. I mean, obviously, you got to talk about it for this podcast for the Mario appearances, which, you know, there were many. But God, this was also the game that first Pit was back.
Which was awesome.
the return of Pit after being gone since the damn Game Boy game. And then all of a sudden, finally, Pit's a playable character in Smash Brothers. Should have been there since the beginning. I was so happy to have him. His redesign was incredible. It introduced Wario and Meta Knight.
Wario hadn't been in the game before that?
No, this was the first Wario one.
Wow.
I mean, this is only the third Smash Brothers game, so Zero Suit Samus, and then introduced the special moves, like the final moves, the final smashes. Oh, God. This game I was so stoked for that my entire staff of my Game Crazy, when we got the game in, like I think it was like 2 days before it went on sale, that night I like just took one home and we all went back to my house and played it all night long.
I don't think you should admit that out loud.
What are they going to do?
The Game Crazy police are going to come after you.
Yeah, right. They're unemployed.
Yes, they are.
I'm looking for something to do. Look, Smash Brothers Brawl definitely
gets a lot of time, Chris.
They have nothing
time on their hands.
Tracking down people stealing Hollywood video coupons. Putting them up on eBay.
What a stupid company. Ugh.
So, I mean, a lot of people disparage this game because it's not Melee, and it's a lot slower than Melee, and it introduces a lot more chaos elements, but that's why I like Smash Brothers, so I loved Smash Brothers Brawl. Though, admittedly, Smash 4 is an infinitely better game. Brawl, I think, was just incredible for its time. I played a ton of this game, and that's really all I have to say about it. I know you don't have much to say about it, right?
No.
Other than Snake? God damn, that was so awesome.
That is very cool.
The whole bit where you can go to his stage and do codec conversations about every single fighter in the game is so amazing.
It's very cool.
They did that again in Smash 4, except with Kid Icarus, because Kid Icarus Uprising had constant dialogue, so they recorded all new dialogue segments of basically doing the codec things, except with the Kid Icarus Uprising characters, which was great.
Because Snake is not in 4. Right.
He is not, and that makes me sad. There's no Konami in 4. There should be Simon Belmont in Smash Brothers.
Well, I'm sure when the Smash Brothers for Switch is announced, we will speculate wildly and inappropriately.
We will.
Who will be in it.
I actually did that recently on the Stone Age Gamer blog for no reason. Just I thought, you know, I need something to write that week, and I thought, you know what? The Nintendo World Championships are coming up. I'm betting they're going to announce Smash Brothers there. I was wrong. I was very wrong. But I did a whole speculation thing. That was fun. All right, then we got a bunch of little guys here. We had Dr. Mario Express for Nintendo DSi, which was just a really pared down version of Dr. Mario. Really nothing remarkable about it, other than it was, you know, a DSi and game.
DSi was their digital platform.
Yeah. The DSi was the version of the DS that had access to an online store, and this was that. We also had Dr. Mario Online RX, which is it was a really good Dr. Mario game. The online actually worked great in it. I played it online a lot, although it did, you know, it took a lot of assets from Dr. Mario 64, except not the good ones, like all the hand-drawn animation, but, you know, the music. But it just kind of, it didn't have as many features and modes as Dr. Mario 64. So I was, again, really, really let down by this. It was a WiiWare title. It was a downloadable title. So I guess I kind of gave it a little bit of slack because it was just a downloadable title. And at the time, Wii downloadable titles were so limited on what they could and couldn't do as far as space. Still, I was just a little disappointed. It was nice. It's a nice looking game, but Dr. Mario 64 is still better. We got a little game called Mario Kart Wii, released in 2008.
By far my favorite Wii game.
I have to really think about that.
I enjoyed the shit out of this game.
Yeah, Mario Kart Wii was great. Mario Kart Wii, I have to say, is the game that got my wife into gaming. It was her first Mario Kart game, and it was the motion controls that did it.
This one works really well, especially with a little stupid steering wheel attachment.
Exactly. And what was great was watching her get better over time to the point where she gave up on motion controls and wanted to use the regular controller like me, because she just learned the game through there. This game sold 35.72 million copies.
Yeah.
This is another one of those games that's like sold stupidly good.
Well, I mean, when you're looking at the Wii, like, the options were kind of limited, and they kept selling.
Exactly. Like, everyone had the system, and this is one of those perfect game at the perfect time situations, because it was like, you can talk about things like Smash Brothers being popular, but Mario Kart, everyone plays Mario Kart, you know, gamers or no. So you put this game on the Wii Sports machine, suddenly you have something else that is as accessible as Wii Sports, you know?
You're not wrong.
That's what That was what
you're right. Well, and I really think, like, I mean, like, you kind of joke about the steering wheel attachment, but like the official Nintendo steering wheel attachment is probably the best peripheral they've ever released.
It's definitely one of the most clever, because there's zero electronics in it. It's a hollow piece of plastic, but it makes you feel like
works perfectly.
Exactly. It's exactly what it needs to be. the Wii Remote was such an ingenious thing, and I've said before, like, yes, I'm saying that this was essentially the Wii Sports machine because that's what it was to most people.
Oh, but absolutely.
A lot of people that were like me, if you looked for the good games, you would find some great games. I had so much fun with the Wii. There are so many really, really good games on that platform that too many people didn't play because what Nintendo didn't really realize was that they hit their blue ocean strategy where they were selling the Wii to everyone, but the gamers were looking for something different. You know, they weren't looking for motion waggle games, you know? So games like No More Heroes and Mad World are, you know, cult classics now instead of the big successes that they should have been. We've talked about that subject to death. Mario Kart Wii is an amazing game. It's got great tracks.
Shit out of this game.
Yeah, great tracks, great music, controls like a dream with both sets of controls. Mm-hmm. It's just incredibly smart. It's a little sad because it wasn't Double Dash. Like, Double Dash was not even an option in it. Right. But it's kind of hard to really disparage this game. It's just so good at doing what it did. Let's see. We also had the Game & Watch collection. Which, this was just literally what it says. This is what's on the tin. This isn't like the Game & Watch Gallery stuff. This is way less than that. This is literally just the Game & Watch games emulated on a DS card. It was a Club Nintendo reward. It wasn't even something they sold in stores. And the games on it were Ball, Flagman, Vermin, Judge, Helmet, Chef, Donkey Kong Jr., Mario Cement Factory, and Manhole. And the games featuring Mario on that list, we've already talked about. So, moving on.
So we're not gonna again.
You're not gonna again. Last game of 2006, Mario Super Sluggers for the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as good as Mario Superstar Baseball. It went with the motion control thing for swinging the bat and whatnot.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's a neat trick, but it doesn't make for a great game.
Nope.
And this had a lot of really cool ideas in it. It's a decent game, but I still prefer the GameCube one. I'm assuming you didn't play this one.
No. Yeah. I was too busy with Ken Griffey Jr. RBI Baseball.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, we had a lot of fun with this in our store, but at our Game Crazy at the time, but just not enough to really... Didn't overtake the other one. All right, that's it.
I mean... That's kind of the thing where the motion controls fall short, is that swinging a bat, like swinging the controller to mimic swinging a bat, is a neat trick, but it is not tenable for long gaming sessions.
Yeah, and that's you should really build a game around it.
That's where the Wii fell down, is that if I have to, like, I can't play this for an hour.
This is where the Wii, and I would say not even just the Wii, but where Nintendo fell down as a whole during this generation, this and the following generation a lot, was finding a gimmick that worked, that was really unique, and that really added something to the way games were played, but then kind of shoehorning them into other things where they didn't belong. I mean, really the ultimate example of that is Star Fox Zero on Wii U.
Right.
Which is still heartbreaking to this day because there's a good game in there somewhere, but thanks to its control scheme, it's a pile of garbage. When it works, but it works so rarely. And the whole time I'm just sitting there looking at this game like, God, I wish I could just play this with regular controls.
Yeah, I wish I could just play this game.
Yeah.
As opposed to like fight with it the whole time. Yeah.
And that's what I like about the Switch, is that finally I can just play this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes me happy. All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mario games released from 2009 to 2012. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. All right, so we didn't do our traditional commercial script this week because it's the week of Thanksgiving. So Dan and I are just going to kind of improv this section here.
We're going to spend an hour talking about what we're thankful for.
Indeed. Well, I'm thankful for.
Settle in.
I'm thankful for Geekade writer Dave DiOrio and his partners over at the Whip Around podcast for inviting me onto their show. I was on the Whip Around this week. The episode went live on Wednesday, which is the day we're recording this. And we talked about basically the impact of video games on our lives. So things like the way that it's changed the way that we think and the way that we approach problems. It was a very, very interesting conversation. And I had a lot of fun on the show. Give it a listen. I just posted on the Stone Age Gamer Facebook page earlier today, or you can just look it up. It's called the Whip Around Podcast, and I recommend it. They're super fun guys. And Dave, one of the co-hosts on the show, he regularly writes for Geekade. He does sports articles and a series called Budsworthy, where he talks about other podcasts. Because dude listens to a lot of podcasts. it's good stuff. Dan, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful that there is a new episode of Ring the Bell. I simply adore the stuff that these guys are doing. And the fact that it's not the highest grossing show on YouTube is a fucking crime.
It is. Because it is ridiculous. The game, the show is directed by my current Waveback co-host, Matt Ramo, and hosted by the deliciously hilarious J.R. Perez. I don't give a crap about wrestling, but these guys make me laugh.
No, you could not care any less.
These guys make me laugh every single time, even if I don't know what they're talking about. Their delivery's great. Their jokes are great. I love this show.
It's objectively funny.
It is.
Like, it is an objectively funny show, and I am thankful that they continue to do it, and I am unthankful to all of you pricks who won't fucking watch their videos.
God, well, there you have it.
Watch more Ring the Bell. Fucking spread it like wildfire.
Do it. Ring the Bell is great, even if you don't like wrestling.
It really, truly is. And if you don't like wrestling, what the fuck is your problem?
You're probably like me, which is probably a problem.
Right? Yeah, you don't want to have things in common with Chris.
You really don't.
We have clearly established it.
I am a games journalist who thinks very highly of himself.
You are. Are we journalists, Chris?
I've read a journal before.
I've written a journal.
I think that counts. I think we're officially journalists.
Oh, okay. In that case, am I a beer journalist as well? Because I've written about that shit and I've drank a ton of it.
Definitely.
Fucking millennials. God damn it.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
On behalf of everyone at Geekade and the Stone Age Gamer, happy Thanksgiving. And we're back. It's time to talk about Mario games released from 2009 to 2012. Let's start with music. What's going on in the world of music?
The top four songs were done by two different people. Number four was I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, that song was everywhere.
Everywhere. Number three was Just Dance from Lady Gaga. Number two was My Poker Face, My Poker Face, also from Lady Gaga. And number one was Boom Boom Pow from the Black Eyed Peas. Hmm. Because we, at this point, have collectively lost our shit as far as music is concerned. Because if anybody would argue that Single Ladies Put a Ring on It was only the eighth best song of 2009, they're just fucking wrong. Song's amazing. Come on, Chris. You know you like it. All the Single Ladies. All the Single Ladies.
I just realized I'm sitting here frowning and shaking my head, and none of that's coming through the microphones.
No. Tiff is doing the dance on the couch next to me, but she's not doing the Beyonce version. She's doing the John Barrowman version, which is so good.
I was just about to say, is clearly superior, and I don't even know the difference, but it's the John Barrowman version,
it's clearly superior. I think Beyonce herself would look at that and go, yes, that's the one. That's what I was trying to do.
So let's see. The first Mario game released in 2009 was, it was Mario Power Tennis. It was the GameCube game with...
with motion controls.
With motion controls added. They did this new Play Control series where they took GameCube games, slapped Wii controls on them, and packaged them again.
They just gave the fuck up and announced it to everyone on the box.
Mario there were Power some Tennis, of them.
We didn't try edition. Like, just Jesus.
Some man. Of these were a great idea. Pikmin and Pikmin 2 work really well with the pointer controls.
Sure.
Metroid Prime, which they didn't release here in America until the Prime trilogy. But they did actually do Metroid Prime 1 and 2 with the motion controls, the new play control. They just didn't sell them over here. That worked great. I just, you know, we got new play control Mario Tennis. And what was it? The DK Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
Yeah.
Great, great game. Not the new play control version.
No.
Because what was great about that game was controlling a platformer with a pair of freaking bongos. Which was so much fun. It's so weird. It's
fabulous.
And it just doesn't work outside of those bongos. Like, outside of that, it's like, unless you're actually...
Somehow controlling the game with the bongos is more intuitive than any other control scheme.
It's ridiculous because, like, the game's so much fun. And you're just, like, smacking everything. Like, you get to the boss fights and you're basically playing Punch-Out. Except, like, it's not motion controls. It's you're still hitting buttons, but you're smacking them with your hands instead of pressing them with your thumbs. It's ludicrously fun.
Yeah.
And new play control Mario Tennis is not that. So let's never speak of it again. Also in 2009, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games.
Winter Games. Ice skating with Toad.
Yeah. So bad let's idea. See... One of my favorite lines from an episode of Mystery Science Theater sums this up properly. From the people who brought you that other stuff, more of the same.
Yep.
And that's all there is to say about Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games. It's more waggly mini games. Thanks, guys. Good work, Sega.
Yeah.
Good work, Ooh. Team. Of course, then we have New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which to me was a dream come true at the time. Because
really? I hate this one.
I love this game. It's all right. So
I can't even pinpoint why I hate this one so much.
Oh, because it's generic and soulless.
I hate it.
I was just happy because my only complaint about New Super Mario Brothers was that I couldn't play it on my TV. And then Nintendo said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a new 2D Mario game that you can play on your television. And I am way more into playing games on TV than playing them on a tiny handheld. And so this was like just a godsend to me. I was so over the moon for this game, and I 100%ed the crap out of it. I loved it. It's not bad, but it is the first one that is truly problematic with its art direction.
I don't like the way it looks. I don't. This is the one with the penguin suit.
Yeah.
I do not like that penguin suit.
There I dug the penguin just, suit. There I didn't like the propeller hat. That's what I didn't really like.
Oh, the propeller hat is terrible. There's just something not okay about this one. There's something a little fucking Tusk about that penguin suit that I'm just not okay with.
I really dig the penguin suit. It's one of the things I can look back on and say, like, I liked what it did. I liked the ability to slide like that, and I liked the ability to shoot the ice balls. That was really cool, but...
I'm not disagreeing with that. The long flipper arms, there's something fucking like...
There's just something wrong with it.
I'm just picturing fucking Tusk now. Just fight me when he's like at the end, like flopping up and down like fucking walrus.
God.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that movie's incredible. This game is not.
So, I mean, this game sold, again, ridiculous amounts of copies. I mean, we're talking...
A bajillion and a half copies.
28.46 million copies. That's
it was
just...
it was one of those things like if you had a Wii, everybody had like four games.
Yeah, and this was one of those games.
This was one of them.
Oh, they made Super Mario Brothers on the Wii, and not some difficult to control or difficult to figure out Mario Galaxy type thing. Like Mario Galaxy looks like a modern game. That's that's not a very low bar to entry, at least for you know people that aren't gamers. This was like getting the original Super Mario Brothers on your Wii.
Yeah.
And it was the right game at the right time. It made them a crap load of money, but it looked so similar to the DS game. Most of the music was just remixes of the DS game's music. Like so much of this game was pretty lazy. Right down to the four players were Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Toad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Toad and other Toad.
And that was the reason
they didn't
was...
even go so far as to name him Todd. Like, if it was Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Todd, like, that I could have gotten behind.
I actually would have felt a lot better about it if they'd given that other Toad a decent name. But Miyamoto said in an interview it was because of laziness. It was because, well, we would have had the princess as the fourth player, but it's hard to render the dress. It's like, really? Really? Okay.
Well, at least he admits it.
Yeah, at least he admits it. But you know what? Super Smash Brothers came out, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
She's doing a lot more acrobatic stuff in that game than... This was really where the new Super Mario Brothers thing started to feel like a problem. Because if it was one, that's fine. You do this once, I'm in. You do this a second time, now I'm starting to get worried.
Right.
For good reason, because then there was New Super Mario 2 and New Super Mario U, and we'll get to those actually right at the end of this episode. So let us move on and not spend any more time talking about that, and instead talk about the last game released in 2009 that was a Mario game, Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, which is one of my favorite premises for a Mario game ever.
We are inside Bowser. We are in you.
We are inside Bowser. Fighting cells, controlling his movements, making him do things. What a great idea.
It's a very odd idea, but it works.
It does work. It's, you know, again, the Mario and Luigi series is not, you know, is not totally for me. It probably should be. And if I really bothered to sit down and spend the time with them, I bet they would. But again, they suffer from this. I don't like playing them on handheld. You know, I want
to. Yeah.
If I want to sit down and really get involved in something, I want to sit and play it on my TV while laying on my couch, not staring at a tiny DS screen. It's just kind of the way I am. So a game's got to be ludicrously engaging for me to get into it.
Right. It's got to be Metroid. Like, the thing is, Chris, is that your hands, I mean, like, if I was going to describe them, I would describe them as very unpresidential. So it gets a little uncomfortable to sit there and hold that thing for so long with your giant, massive hand.
It's true. Massive. You hear that, Evan? Giant.
You're not the only one, Evan. Something that giant and massive.
Oh, God. Evan's got a giant and massive personality.
He really does, and a giant, massive editing job to do this week.
So, yeah, Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Even if I never really spent time with the games, I always appreciated the premise of the games. Because every time they came out with one, like, what was the next one? Is the dream one? It's not happening in this episode, but it's the one where you're, like, doing Luigi's dreams or something, and it's just absolute insanity. Hooray for the Mario
Nightmare on Elm Street 4, the Dream Warriors.
Exactly. The Luigi Dream Warriors.
Luigi Dream Warriors, where he makes that kid like lift the weights and they snap his arms back. It's a really fucked up version of the game. Like, these I always liked because I like the way that these look.
Yeah, they got great art direction in this series.
They look really colorful and really bright, and like, this is what I want from, if I were going to play one of these games, which I'm not, this is what I would want it to be.
Awesome. Yeah. 2010, Dan. Get us started.
2010, the number three song of the year was Hey, Soul Sister by Train, because they were around. They made a big comeback with that song, and then
they really
disappeared again. Number two was Need You Now from Lady Antebellum, which I'm sure I would recognize if I heard, but I cannot think of it off the top of my head. And number one was TikTok by Kesha. That girl is such a train wreck. She's talented, but she is a train wreck.
And she has a dollar sign in her name.
Not anymore.
Really?
No more dollar sign in Kesha's name. Yeah. Wow. She's serious now.
Oh. Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a thing you know now.
Just kind of piling on the knowledge there. Feeling good about that. I'll tell you what I'm feeling really good about. Super Mario Galaxy 2 came out in 2010.
That it did.
And I adore this game. I thought it was even better than the first one. I still do think it's even better than the first one.
Is that not the prevailing opinion of that one?
No, I think that is the prevailing opinion. Is it? Okay. One. And that's the thing. When this was announced, nobody thought that was the case. Because when this was announced, they're like, oh, wow, that looks just like the first game. And that's kind of sad. And then, like, the developers were saying that, oh, well, this is... So, basically, we had all these ideas. We just couldn't fit into the first one. So, we made a whole new game. And we're like, oh, cool. So, it's like Mario Galaxy Sloppy Seconds. This is a... That doesn't sound great. But then the game came out, and you're like, oh, so you had a lot of other really good ideas that you couldn't get fit into the first one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of sequel that you like to see. Yeah, it was... obviously reused a lot of assets from the original Mario Galaxy, which helped with its development time being so short. But that's the last time Nintendo, not the last time, but another time Nintendo did that to such success was Majora's Mask, you know?
Right.
And that game is extraordinarily beloved. And man, sometimes that's a really good idea. Sometimes it's a really good route to go with a game. And I'm really glad they did it because Galaxy 2 is amazing.
Yeah. I look at those games and I go like, man, I feel like I would like it if I would play it, but I've decided to take a line in the sand here and I'm just not going to. Just fucking stupid. I understand that, but it does, again, it does look really cool. The planet mechanic is really awesome.
I really like the intro in this game. This was really smart because this is coming off the heels of New Super Mario Bros. Wii being just an absolute massive success. And so they did the very beginning of this game as a kind of a transition from 2D to 3D. The game starts in 2D, and then it gradually adds 3D elements until you're moving around in 3D. And it was just really, really clever to kind of get people to say, okay, I understand 2D Mario. I don't understand 3D Mario. And so they really just kind of eased you in. It's just such a smart game. Such an amazing, amazing game. Also in 2010, more Game & Watch Collection. We got Game & Watch Collection 2 with Ball, Flagman, Vermin, Judge, Helmet, Chef, Donkey Kong Jr. No, wait, that was a... Oh, wow, I read the wrong thing for the last one. That was
did you? How dare did. You?
How very dare me. All right, so Game & Watch Collection 1 was Donkey Kong, Greenhouse, Oil Panic. Crap, I don't know what else. And this one had Parachute, Octopus, and something else. I don't know. It had some kind of... One of the Mario games was on there, and I can't find a good list.
I am not sure it entirely mattered.
I'm not either. It was a Game & Watch Collection, too. It was, again, more Game & Watch games on your DS, which I have it. It was a neat Club Nintendo reward. And that's the thing that makes these games not, like, complete garbage. It's not that... Game Watch games are garbage, but like the Game Watch galleries exist and they're really interesting. What makes these cool was that they were physical game cards that you could get for free through Club Nintendo.
That is cool.
Yay.
Yeah.
Mario versus Donkey Kong Mini Land Mayhem. This is more mini marching stuff. Meh.
Yeah, I mean, like, I look at this, and again, like, it makes me mad that it's not Pikmin or that we didn't get Legos out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's the Mario Kart Kinect stuff and the new Super Mario, like, but they're clearly Lego figures.
They
like,
made
minifigs.
They invented for the game a line of actual Mario-themed toys and then didn't make the toys for us to buy.
Yeah, that's a weird decision.
That's really dumb, guys. Come on.
There's a bunch of Mario toys. You can never have them.
Yes. You can't. Eventually, they came up with amiibos, and God damn them slash bless them for that. But
right,
boy, if there was ever a time, come on, guys, minis, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, and then 2010.
Nobody likes Kinects.
What's that?
Nobody likes Kinects.
I liked Kinects. They were cool.
Well, I mean, but there are Mario Kinects right now.
That's true. There are.
If there were Mario Legos, it would be fucking ridiculous. Because nobody likes Kinect.
It's true. They're not Legos.
They're not even Constructs.
Oh, Chris. Constructs were awesome.
Yeah, those were
little blue pieces. Oh, anyway, I love Constructs.
Totally different thing, though.
Yeah. Anyway, we round out 2010 with instead of so Square did the Mario 3-on-3 hoops game, and that was like a subpar basketball game. So Nintendo said, "All right, how about you just make a whole subpar Mario Sports smorgasbord?
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and they called it Mario Sports Mix. And it was like, these were the end times of the Wii.
Yeah.
And it was like, boy, this was their big release at the time, and it was just kind of sad.
It's only got four sports on it.
Yeah. Got I know almost nothing about it other than the reviews were, like, middling.
Yeah, it's got hockey, dodgeball, basketball, and I've already skipped past the screen because I don't care.
I mean, really, I think that's all we have to say about this game is we just don't care.
And volleyball. And, like, really, if two of your four fucking sports games on your disc, two of them are volleyball and dodgeball, fuck yourself. You're not trying hard enough.
You are definitely scraping the barrel here for content. And
you couldn't have squeezed in a fifth game, like, if you would have had fucking, I don't know.
Hi-Li.
Right? Mario Hi-Li is something I would buy. If there was a Mario Hi-Li game on the Switch, I would buy that. So that I could then redo my Bits and Brews post of Hi-Li and Street Fighter 2 with fucking Hi-Li and Mario Hi-Li, because that's just too good to pass up.
So Mario Hi-Li, you would buy lie?
I would buy lie. Yes. Yes, I would.
I'm on fire tonight. Earlier tonight, I'm so proud of this one because I thought it up on the spot and my delivery was flawless. So my sister can't come to Thanksgiving. So, and she was going to bring some sort of corn dish. So she called she texted her sister and asked if she had some sort of corn thing that she could bring. And so we're getting ready to put the kids to bed. And Karen says, my sister has corn, so she can bring corn. And I just looked her dead in the eye, straight face. And I said, congratulations.
You're awesome.
She threatened to divorce me on the spot.
As well, she should have. I'm kind of sad she didn't. To be honest with
you. Damn proud of that one. I am awesome.
You really shouldn't be. I said something to Katie the other day. Like, I made some pun to my daughter, and she looked at me and just completely straight faced, like she didn't laugh or anything. She just looked at me and she went, "That was all right." You're such a jerk. "That was all right." And she walked away. Like, that was the end of our conversation. Went upstairs.
That's awesome. Your daughter rules.
Cool. She really does.
Okay, we're welcome to 2011, Dan. Talk to us.
Welcome to 2011. Number three, Firework by Katy Perry, which is actually a really touching song and is really well done. However, number two was Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO, because Party Rockin's in the house tonight. But number one, the song that nobody could get away from, Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Oh, Rolling in the Deep is a good song. Adele has a really good voice. But, like, number seven was Fuck You by CeeLo, and that is the best song ever.
That is a great song.
Like, that should be number one every year from now on.
The radio edit is
so good.
I can't get behind it. Every time I hear it now,
so funny.
It's just so cringeworthy. Forget so You.
Forget You is awesome.
It's two syllables, man. The song's supposed to be... Never mind. Never mind.
It just doesn't work.
It just doesn't.
It just doesn't work. Anyway.
So we kicked off 2011 with a surprisingly good and neat new take on Mario games, with Super Mario 3D Land for Nintendo 3DS. Now, this was the game that...
Super creepy Mario cat suit.
No, that's not this one.
Oh, no, that's the next one?
Yeah. Okay. This here was... this was the thing that started to turn the tide for the 3DS, because this was, the 3DS launched earlier that year. It was way overpriced. There were not very many games on it.
No.
And then they did that whole ambassador program thing, dropped the price by a whole lot, and this Mario game came out. And sold very well, because it's a really, really good game. So what they did with this game was they kind of took a totally different stance on how to do 3D Mario. So this was no longer like a 3D Mario with like a free-roaming camera and stuff like that, like an over-the-shoulder kind of thing. This was a almost isometric perspective. Mm-hmm. So it had a lot of what made 2D Mario workable in it, except they just kind of made 2D games a little bit more 3D. So this plays more like a 3D version of a 2D Mario game than like Super Mario 64 did, where Super Mario 64 just kind of like blew the world up.
Right.
This kind of feels a little bit more old school, and I really like this game. It's got a lot of really great level designs. Like, there was so many moments playing this game that just made me smile, and it's the kind of things that are like, these are the best of times in Mario games, because these are why I play Mario games, to play levels and find secrets and do things that just make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It did rely a little bit too heavily on nostalgia, where this is the game that brought back the leaf and the raccoon tail.
Right.
And the Tanuki suit. And like, all right, it's nice to see that power up back, but we don't usually repeat power ups like that in Mario games. So that was a little something odd about it.
But smacking a little bit of desperation. But a little bit. But like you said, they kind of needed to.
Exactly. They were desperate at this time. And it paid off, because the game sold very well. It turned around the fortune for the 3DS, which has been a phenomenally successful system. And good on them for it. This game was great. It's just great.
This one looks, I mean, just, it's one of the interesting things about Mario games is just even looking at screenshots of this game, you can see that this one has the soul that some of the other ones are missing.
Exactly. This game has more of that soul and color that New Super Mario Brothers Wii was missing. However, this was also a bit more, the game's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, but it is a little bit more safe than we're used to 3D Mario games being. Because,
right.
You know, we got Mario 64, which, like I just said, blew up everything. Super mm-hmm. Mario Sunshine, which was very risky and bizarre. Two Galaxy games, which are just completely off the wall. And then we get this relatively tame and safe 3D Mario game, which I don't want to really disparage it for that, because, like I said, the game's phenomenal, and it's so clever and great and smart, but it also was a teensy bit safe.
Right.
And it also has that very sterile Mario art direction that mm-hmm. Mario had become known for at this point. So, but a great game nonetheless. Okay, let's this one we can basically skip, because we've got Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games.
No Spice
From the
Girls,
people who brought you that other
play.
Stuff, more of the same.
More of the same. Really, it was lacking the Spice Girls. They were there on my TV, but they were not in the game, so I didn't buy it.
There it is. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we got on 3DS Mario Kart 7, which is the most forgettable Mario Kart of all of them.
Yeah, it was a bold move. It was a bold move making the next numbered Mario Kart. Like, this isn't like a spin-off or just like the DS version. Like, this is the Mario Kart.
I don't know what it is about this game that didn't stick with me. It's the only Mario Kart game that I didn't just completely get sucked into. Like, I played every one of them a ton, and it's like, all right, so this introduced like the flying and swimming, which is cool, like the gliding, not flying, but you know, you go off the jumps and you glide. That's great. It's got some cool courses. There's just something very forgettable about this game, and it did great. It sold extremely mm-hmm. well. I mean, it's the freaking, you know, Mario Kart game on 3DS, so of course it sold well.
Well, but it was also the pack-in for the 2DS.
I mean, yeah.
Pack-in, it was already downloaded to the system, but like...
Yeah, and they did that a couple of times, not even
Yeah,
just
they
the
gave
2DS,
this away like, a bunch of times with different
with,
3DS
with systems.
3DS
and it
versions.
Made sense, you know, to sell this game, because it's still Mario Kart. It's not a bad game. There's just something about it that makes it very forgettable, especially after Mario Kart 8 came out.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know, so, maybe it's the level design. I mean...
Yeah, I guess. But they did, I don't know.
I mean, they did the toys for this one at McDonald's. Like, it was a big push for this one. But, like, I think a lot of people have that feeling, though. Like, that this is... Eh.
Yeah, it was just kind of missing something, you know?
It's
like,
there.
Double Dash was Double Dash, you know? It was it had that cool, like, Double Dash mechanic. It was totally different and unique.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Wii had those incredible motion controls. And then Mario Kart 7 is just like, well, we got online, but DS had that. You can float.
Oh, there's a cool. Mii. Put a Mii
yeah,
in it.
Didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
On the Wii, we got Fortune Street. It's what I mentioned earlier. This is the Itadaki Street. This is the Wii version. It's got a great soundtrack. This is the one that I played like very little of because it's not fun to play multiplayer.
Right.
But we basically already talked about this. So
single player Monopoly.
Yeah. Moving on. Is. Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games for Nintendo 3DS.
Which is clearly, I mean, since it came out later in the year, the much better version of it.
I'll take your word for it. I didn't.
Sure, I'm guessing. I don't know.
I didn't play it. We also got the. Mario Party 9 for the Wii in 2000. Because
they won't fucking stop, Chris.
They won't stop. Oh, we're in 2012. What's the music in 2012?
I'm sorry, we missed it.
We're too busy being bored by Mario and Sonic. God, 2012.
Not good.
Oh boy, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Not great. Number three, We Are Young by Fun featuring Janelle Monae. Oh, that song's fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. Number two, not even going to lie, I love Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. It's so cute. It's just fun. I just met you. This is crazy.
Stop.
Here's my number.
Stop.
Call Me Maybe. Do you ever see the British version of it? I just met you and this is mental. But here's my number. Give us a call, will you, pet? Really funny. Anyway, and number one, this may be the most surprising number one song of like the entire time we've been doing this. That was a combination of those two right there.
Good work.
Somebody that I used to know, that Gautier, Kimbra, like that song was fucking everywhere, and it was such a weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's a good song, but like to be the number one song.
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened.
I don't either, because like I mean, there was more Flo Rida.
Well, thank God for that.
And there was "What Makes You Beautiful" by One Direction, which was I know it was personally my summer anthem of 2012.
So it always reminds me of you.
Fucking One Direction could go screw. That's terrible.
All right, so where were we? Anyway. Speaking of going and screwing. All right, yeah, Mario Party 9. Mario Party 9 wafted its way onto the Wii.
Like, do they even sell at this? I mean, they must, because they won't stop.
Let's see. Mario, let's see here. P-A-R-T-Y.
Like, I don't know anybody who likes them. I have kids that are completely uninterested in it. Like, they watch videos on YouTube of some stupid shit. They don't watch anything about Mario Party.
Let's see. How has the Mario Party series done? Mario Party 9 is actually the third best-selling in the series, it looks like. Only 3.16 million.
Still,
Mario Party 8 did 8.29 million.
That's insane.
And Mario Party DS was the most successful at 8.93.
That's insane.
That is insane.
That makes just no kind of sense.
Yeah. Yikes.
I just don't get it.
So anyway. we're in some really dark times right here because
things kind of took a turn.
This was some difficult times for Nintendo because they were, you know, we're about to launch the Wii U, and things aren't looking so hot for the Wii U because people are confused by it. So this was kind of heartbreaking because we got New Super Mario Brothers 2 earlier in the year.
You skipped one.
Oh yeah, Mario Tennis Open. It was another Mario Tennis game on the 3DS. I know almost nothing about it. Like I'm not skipping this for time. I just literally, this is my entire thought on this game. Oh, look, they made another Mario Tennis game on 3DS. Neat.
Neat.
That's all I got. I'm sure it was fun. It got, you know, decent reviews at the time, but I could not tell you much about it. It's just another Mario Tennis game, which, it's not the low point for the Mario Tennis series. That's still coming.
Oh, we're getting there.
We're going to get there. Not this week. And then we had New Super Mario Brothers 2, which is the least inspired New Super Mario Brothers game.
Yeah.
I haven't finished this game. I didn't even buy it when it came out because they announced this and New Super Mario Brothers U pretty much back to back. And New Super Mario Brothers U, I thought, looked really interesting. Like, New Super Mario Brothers U had character and looked really nice. And I said, all right, well, I don't need to play two of these in the same year, so I'm just going to skip this one. New Super Mario Brothers 2 is the one with the gold mechanic. It's all about the coins, and you can turn things to gold and collect thousands of coins. And when I eventually did get around to playing it, it was as soulless and pointless as I thought it was. Like, I just
If they would have made it Wario, it would have been fine.
But even then, it's still...
New Super Mario Brothers.
Now, that would have been interesting, because it would have played differently.
Right.
This plays just like the other New Super Mario Brothers games.
Just with a lot of coins.
Except I don't think it has the little midair twirl. See, that's something I forgot to mention in New Super Mario Brothers Wii that made New Super Mario Brothers Wii really interesting, is that it added that little midair twirl thing. And that really changed the game for some of the advanced platforming that happened later in the game.
Right.
Some of the levels in New Super Mario Brothers, especially like the expert stuff towards the end, you can do some crazy stuff with that little midair flippy-do thing. That was one of the coolest additions to 2D Mario, was that little midair flippy-do. And I don't think it was in New Super Mario Brothers 2. I can't confirm that off the top of my head because it's been a while since I played it, but I feel like when I played it, I tried doing it and it wasn't there. And I was like, okay, so this is really just a sequel to New Super Mario Brothers DS, ignoring New Super Mario Brothers Wii. That's really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, unfathomably stupid. And if they're making a new 2D Mario game that I'm going to skip, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
and
they fucked up somewhere.
The company line was really bugged me on this, because this game was out around the time that I went to go work for Nintendo, when I was doing the Wii U kind of ambassador thing in Toys R Us. And I remember they were showing us a bunch of the products and whatnot, and they were talking about New Super Mario Brothers 2, and I said that I had skipped it, and they said, oh, you shouldn't have skipped it, it's a great game. I said, well, New Super Mario Brothers U was coming out in a couple of months, so they're so similar products. They're like, oh no, they're completely different products. I'm like, no, they're not. They're really not. They're New Super Mario Brothers games, except one looks really interesting and the other one's covered in gold. Like, it just didn't work for me, and the woman, she just kind of left it at that. And like, I get standing up behind your products, but like, I would tell people, you know, people who are buying a new 3DS for the first time for their kids, like, oh, what games do you get? Well, get Super Mario 3D Land. And if they don't have that, get New Super Mario Brothers 2. It's not phenomenal, but it's still Super Mario Brothers. It's a solid game. It's just, this was the New Super Mario Brothers overkill. This was the game that killed that for me, which wasn't on top of my list to begin with, because New Super Mario Brothers is a terrible name for a game.
It really is.
Yeah, this is just a big old bag of nope.
It could have just been Super Mario Brothers 4. They could have just gone from there.
They could have, but
like,
they
would have been fine.
They called it New Super Mario Brothers, and then continued with this very sterile art direction and profound sadness. So we got Paper Mario Sticker Star as well, which a lot of people hate this game.
Yeah.
I don't hate this game. I played a little bit of it.
Why
think
people
it's,
hate it so much?
I think because it's so far removed from what people want out of a sequel in a Paper Mario game, and they keep like trying these new different mechanics and stuff. And the sticker mechanic admittedly does get a little old.
Okay.
But you know, for the little bit of time that I did play it, because I bought this one and I played it, you know, some of it, and before I got sidetracked by other games and things happening in life, but I think it was a pretty solid game. Great soundtrack, though. Boy, this game's got some really good music. It's got this very, like, saxophone-heavy, jazzy, really, really amusing music. Really, really good stuff.
This was the soundtrack that was done by Duke Silver, right?
Yes, this was the Duke Silver one. never enough Parks and Rec in life.
This really...
So this was what I call the dark times, because we had Super Mario 3D Land, which was great. But then we had Mario and Sonic Olympic, two Mario and Sonic the Olympic games, a forgettable Mario Kart, a Monopoly game, Mario Party 9, another Mario Tennis, a subpar 2D platformer, and a Paper Mario game that nobody liked. That's a lot of misses for Mario, and fortunately, Super Mario 3D Land was interesting enough to kind of carry the torch, And then New Super Mario Bros. 2 comes out. Now, this was so misguided. So sadly misguided. Because people have been complaining about the last couple of Nintendo system launches. Like, well, how do they launch without a new Mario game? And they're like, all right, fine. You can follow the logic here. New Super Mario Bros. Wii, one of the most successful games ever made. Let's make a sequel to that to launch our new system. You can follow that logic, but at the same time...
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
It does, but it also makes no sense because you're launching your brand new powerful console with a 2D Mario game.
Yep. Oops.
Yeah, it's just... This game is amazing. This is easily the best of the new Super Mario Brothers games. It is a legitimately good Mario platformer.
Right.
It doesn't looks hold great. Up as well as like Super Mario World does, but it still looks very nice. It had some really interesting backgrounds. It had some like it didn't go far enough for my taste. But what was there was really cool. It's got a great map screen, like with lots of hidden exits and things like that. I liked the, what was the power up in this one? This was the acorns, squirrel. The flying squirrel thing. Yeah. I liked that because it was really subtle. It lets you like cling to walls and it lets you float down, and do a little
cool.
It looked like an old school Mario suit that was interesting, you know, like the raccoon tail, not the full on Snooki suit. Like it wasn't like the penguin thing was just like, okay, and now he's dressed as a penguin. The bee Mario suit is now he's dressed like a bee. But then you got like the cool stuff, like the cloud Mario suit in Mario Galaxy 2. And it's like, okay, that looks like a Mario power up because it's really interesting. And that's what this
he's
like
not,
flying squirrel.
He's not wearing a costume. It's a power up.
Exactly. And that's what the flying squirrel suit struck me of in this one. This has great level designs. This is a really, really good game that unfortunately just, this was not what you launch your system with.
Because it's just not because like you're retreading a DS game at that point.
Yeah, and like New Super Mario Brothers Wii was novel because it was a brand new 2D Mario game. But at this point, now we've had three of those before.
Right.
You're launching the fourth one, which is essentially not that different from the other ones, including the one that you released earlier that year.
Right.
It was so misguided and such a shame because this game sold a fraction of what the other new Super Mario Brothers games did. I mean, geez, where was that? I was just looking at the list of those new Super Mario Brothers. So if we look at the sales of the new Super Mario Brothers series, you've got the original one for DS was the highest at 29.85 million. Hooray. Then right behind it at 28.46 million is New Super Mario Brothers Wii. Then you got the huge drop off down to 10.6 million of New Super Mario Brothers 2. Still crazy, but that's because it's a new Mario game on the DS, the 3DS, which was super hot at the time. And then you've got the best game of the bunch only sold 5.58 million.
For a 2D Mario game to have sold less than 10 million copies is insane.
For a Mario launch title on brand new Nintendo
worldwide.
Hardware.
Like, that's worldwide, right?
That's
not
world.
Just
that's
US.
That's the global. Yeah. 2.3 in America, 1.6 in Europe, 1.3 in Japan. It was just the wrong thing at the wrong time. This is the complete opposite. And it's such a shame because this game's really worth playing. And I do hope that someday they do some sort of new Super Mario Brothers All-Stars, like some sort of compilation pack that puts all these together that I can play on Switch, because that would be great. Because I did recently play through some of New Super Mario Brothers U again, because my son John was just, he wanted to play a Mario game, and he picked that one out of the drawer, and I was like, all right, cool, I'd love to play this game again. Yeah. And I did, and it was fun. It was neat. A lot of really clever stuff in it. Plays good, looks good.
Couldn't you do that in this one? Couldn't you put your Mii on the character? Or is that...
Could you do that in this one? I don't remember.
I think
I don't know. I never tried. I didn't like Miis.
No, they're so ugly.
I like them, but I didn't like them.
No. What's fucked up is that there's another one of these that we have to talk about next week.
New Super Mario?
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
No, Luigi. Mario's not the Luigi.
Oh, New Super Luigi U isn't really a different game. It's
doesn't count. Poor Luigi.
I mean, I guess it does. Well, it was DLC for this game, and then they released it as a separate retail disc at some point.
Yeah.
I don't remember if that's going to show up on my list or not, but I mean, it's worth mentioning because it was cool. New Super Luigi U is really cool DLC for this because all the stages are, like, your time limit is 1 minute or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do these crazy speed runs as Luigi. It's neat. It was neat. It was neat DLC. I was glad I bought it, and I didn't finish playing through it. But I'm sad I didn't buy that disc because apparently that disc is worth some money now.
Really?
I don't know why, but whatever.
People are weird. Collectors are dumb.
Collectors are dumb, myself included.
Myself included. I've spent a lot of money on shit that just sits somewhere now. You know, like, just, oh, well, somebody said it was worth that much, so I bought it. Now it's not worth that much anymore, so just put it out in the garage.
Well, there you have it. We did it. That was much more manageable, huh?
Yeah, it was much better. It was an hour and a half this time.
Yeah.
Were trying to include all of that shit last week.
Yeah.
Fucking we were going to check
up to 2010, we were going to do last week. That would have been a bad idea. That was most of this show.
Wow. You are a crazy person.
I am.
I'm glad I called an audible.
There we go. That's our show. Join us next week for the grand finale of our ongoing Super Mario retrospective series, where we'll be looking back at Mario games released between 2013 and 2017, including games like Super Mario 3D World, Puzzle and Dragon Super Mario Edition,
yes,
and of course, Super Mario Odyssey.
I have to get Puzzle and Dragon Super Mario Edition before we fucking do the show.
You do. You really do. I am expecting some expert testimony on this.
Puzzle and Dragons is really good.
Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, follow us on Twitter at @the_Geekade, or find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. I don't know when he's doing that, because tomorrow's Thanksgiving, but well, you know, whatever.
Got to take out all those references to his... Well, you know.
We'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. Now here's part of the show that I'm not enjoying, but I cannot even begin to describe how much I hate to have to say this, but I have to take a moment before we go, because I have to talk about something that's sad. An old friend of mine named Joe passed away earlier this week. I've mentioned him on this show a couple of times before, because the two of us used to hang out all the time when we were kids, and I have a ton of great memories of going to his house, being around his family, and playing Super Nintendo games, specifically Stunt Race FX and Donkey Kong Country. I have a very specific memory of laughing my head off for a very long time because of just this strange delivery of, we were playing Donkey Kong Country, and Joe just stops me and says, "These characters have a lot of frames of animation." And I don't know why it struck me as so funny, but it did. he was remarkably intelligent, funny, ludicrously kind. He was very giving and kind person, and just the right kind of weird. I mean, this guy was weird, and I loved him for it. He did this thing in high school where he kept he got in so much trouble for this. He kept he bought a thing, a little thing of orange juice from the cafeteria. He put it in a bag and he left it in his locker all year. And like they were trying to figure out where the smell was coming from. It was fantastic. And it just turned into this. I think there was that and like a banana. And one time he opened it up and the banana looked like a pipe cleaner at one point. It was just,
that's awesome.
It was so ridiculous. That was a long time ago, and the two of us lost touch, because he didn't really do social media, and I had long since lost his phone number, and we grew apart, because that's kind of what people do after high school, sometimes. A few years ago, I reconnected on Facebook with his little sister, Katie, and she had heard about my website, and she reached out to talk because she was also into all kinds of crazy nerdy stuff. And I remember Katie is just this little girl who would follow me and Joe around his house. And she was doing these really cool, like, a cappella video game covers. And she sent me a few of them online. And I was really impressed. She was a super cool kid. She was recently married. She just had a beautiful daughter. And it was really nice connecting with her because I was like, oh, let's say hi to your brother. And it seemed like she had her whole life ahead of her. But what I didn't know is that she also suffered from bipolar disorder. And it was at her funeral 2 years ago where I saw Joe for the first time in years, probably since high school. And it was a really, really difficult day because, like I said, I didn't know Katie all that well, but she was just, you know, she was a new mom and there was so much going on in her life. And she was always such a pleasant person. But there was a tiny positive that came out of that day. The otherwise devastatingly sad day was that I was talking to Joe and we started catching up a little bit. And he told me that he knew what I was up to because he listens to this show. And, I couldn't even begin to say how happy that made me because I wasn't really in touch with him. He found out about the show on Facebook and he listened to it and he liked listening to me talk about games. And that meant a lot to me. And I wanted to say something because Joe meant a lot to me. And since that time, I had been meaning to reach out to him, and just kind of check up on him and see how he's doing because he looked like hell at his sister's funeral because who wouldn't?
Right.
And I didn't. I am busy all the time, and I just kept not doing it. I kept meaning to reach out to him, and I never did. And now I can't because he's gone. So if you have people in your life that you're meaning to get in touch with, get in touch with them. Just find time to do it because you never know when you won't be able to anymore. So, you know, not that it means a lot in the grand scheme of things to dedicate an episode of this podcast to somebody, but you know,
oh fuck that, it totally does. It 100% does.
Well, this episode is for Joe. I'm still trying to wrap my head around him being gone, and I feel so terrible for his parents who have now lost both their children. So yeah, that's that. I hate to say that. I just hate to have this conversation in general, but I wanted to say and do something, and this is one of the few platforms that I have where I could talk about him, and he was an extraordinarily good person, and it's very sad that he's gone. So, rest in peace, Joe. And that is it, everybody. To leave on a more positive note, happy Thanksgiving, enjoy your Black Friday shopping, and we'll be back next week with more of this ridiculous Mario retrospective. Thank you everyone for listening. Keep playing games.